I am thankful to be here today, and I'm thankful to be a help to Brother Tommy. I'm sorry that you've got the fill-in, but that's the way it is. And so we'll just make do and trust the Lord that He can still send a message even through the fill-in. Amen?
Amen.
I'm trusting for that. Before we get into the message, I just want to read something to you that I think will have an impact if you're listening. What you consistently feed your mind will eventually shape your life. Your mind is influenced every day by what you read, watch, listen to, and repeatedly think about. Those inputs gradually shape your beliefs, your attitude, and ultimately your actions. Be intentional about what you allow into your mind. What you feed today may become how you think tomorrow. I don't know if you've ever heard the name Zig Ziglar.
Yes.
How many have heard of Zig Ziglar? Christian motivational speaker, that was his words. Anyway, that's not what we're going to be talking about this morning. I just thought it was good stuff that we might could chew on. What we're going to talk about this morning is walking in the Spirit. If you would turn in your Bible to Galatians chapter 5, Galatians chapter 5, walk in the Spirit. We've all heard that phrase, but what does it mean? I don't know if you've asked that question to yourself or not. I have. Walk in the Spirit. What does it mean? How does a person walk in the Spirit? What happens when we choose to walk in the flesh instead of the Spirit? Hopefully, after reading the Bible here in this particular area, we'll have some answers to these questions. Biblical answers. You know, when Jesus was approached by people that would ask him questions, he would always say to them, "What does the Bible say?" Our tendency is to just simply give our opinion when somebody asks us a question. Well, I think but the correct answer is, what does the Bible say? If you have a question, the same is important that we find out what the Bible says. Okay, so here in Galatians chapter 5, we're going to start reading in verse 16. The Bible says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary, the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, or evident, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vain glory, provoking one another, envying one another." Let's pray and then we'll continue. Father, I do thank you for your word. Lord, this morning you have brought us here to this passage. Lord, I pray that you would shine a light in our minds and in our hearts to see what you want us to see. Lord, help me to relay your message accurately to your people. We are a needy people. And Lord, you can meet those needs. And I pray that this morning that you would do that. Lord, we thank you for it. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So walking in the Spirit, we're going to start right off by answering that first question. What does it mean to walk in the Spirit? It means to live by the Spirit, or under the influence of the Spirit. I know you've heard that phrase before, under the influence. But here we're not talking about under the influence of alcohol. We're talking about living under the influence of the Holy Spirit. In fact, Paul, he comes right out and says, don't be under the influence of alcohol, but under the influence of the Spirit. He said that in another part of Scripture. But it also means conducting your life how the Spirit wants you to, not how you want to. That's what it means to walk in the Spirit. So it kind of leads us to another question. Is it possible for a born-again believer to walk or to live in the flesh? Absolutely. That's why Paul is stressing this to these people here at in Galatia. And he's talking to Christians. This is a letter that he wrote to the church. So he's talking to Christian people. So it's apparent and evident that yes, as a born-again believer, we can walk in the flesh. We can live in the flesh. In other words, we can be under the influence of the flesh as a born-again believer, right? You know as well as I do that there's been way too many occasions where we have allowed our flesh to dominate.
Right.
When that happens, how does that turn out for you? It never turns out good. Never. And it may seem to at the onset, because you got your way, or I got my way, but then it doesn't pan out very good. I heard a guy say one time, he says, "Men, you cannot win an argument with your wife. You can't. Because if you do, she's defeated. She's the loser. Who wants to be married to a loser?" You cannot win that argument. The truth is, we want everybody else to walk in the Spirit, but not ourselves. Everybody wants a biblical spouse, but finds it difficult to be a biblical spouse. We want all those other drivers out there to follow biblical precepts, such as be kind, let others ahead of you, yet cannot seem to implement those same biblical precepts in our own driving habits. Right?
Right.
So what's the problem? We're walking in the flesh. I'm afraid, I don't know about you, I'm afraid that I probably walk in the flesh more often than I do in the Spirit. What we're doing is we are allowing our flesh to dominate our feelings and the decisions and our life. And at the same time, we are aggravated with those people that are doing the same thing. We want them to change. We want them to obey God's word when it says, "And be ye kind," but find it difficult to do that ourselves. I heard a guy say one time, he says, he was speaking to men on marriage. He says, "Men, you want your wife to walk with Jesus? Show her how." You want her to crucify her flesh? Show her how. You want her to be a biblical spouse? Show her how. We struggle in that, don't we?
Yes.
If y'all heard the story about the Indian chief that got saved, there was a missionary that went into the reserve to spread the gospel. And so he did. And one of the Indian chiefs got saved. And so when it come time for the missionary to leave and go to another place, he did. And he made his way back around. And it was several months later. And when he come back through that area, he found that Indian chief. And he says, "Chief, how is your walk with Jesus coming?" And the Indian chief says, "Well, it's like I've got a white dog and a black dog inside of me fighting all the time." Y'all know what he's talking about, right?
Yes.
So the missionary said to the Indian chief, "Well, chief, which one is winning?" And the Indian chief says, "Whichever one I feed the most." Makes sense, doesn't it?
Yes, it
does. And in this area of walking in the spirit or walking in the flesh, which one are we going to do? Which one is going to win? Whichever one we feed the most. So how do we feed our flesh? How do we feed the spirit? I would like a little bit of involvement right here. So I'm going to ask a question and I want somebody to answer. Those of you that are brave. So here's the question. What is a fleshly desire?
Selfishness.
Selfishness. I want my way.
Right.
Right? What is another selfish desire? Yes, ma'am.
Ungratefulness.
Ungratefulness. Yes, that's right.
Greed.
Greed. Greed is a fleshly desire. Yes, sir.
Overindulgence.
Overindulgence. Yeah. The truth is, we could probably just keep going. Right? I mean, we've only reached the tip of the iceberg here, right? We are loaded up, all of us, with many selfish desires, right? Relaxation, excessive sleep, recognition. Nobody ever sees what I do. I mean, why can't they at least say something? Thank you. What about food? What about comfort food? Some of these things are hard because we need food. Right? I mean, you're not going to live long if you just quit eating completely. But then on the other hand, we can go to the extreme with it. Just like with sleep. You need sleep. You need good sleep. You need a certain amount of sleep. But you don't need this much. If you need this much and you're getting this much, it's probably excess. Right?
Right.
We always want to be right. My mentor told me this one time. He said, "It's better to be happy than right." Let that sink in for just a minute. We always want to be right. We always want to win. These are fleshly desires that need to be crucified. In order to walk in the Spirit, or to put it this way, to willingly hand over control to the Spirit, we have got to let go of that control. Paul said, "I die daily." He was talking about crucifying his flesh. Yes, Paul had a fleshly problem, just like we do. But every single day of his life, there was occasions where he had to say, no, I'm not going to do that. Or, no, I'm going to get up out of the bed now. I got to get up. Now. No, I'm just not going to say that to that person. It's just not right. That's just my flesh. I'm not going to say it. No. Crucifying the flesh is all about just saying no to yourself. By the way, you don't know a person until you tell them no. That goes for yourself too. When you say no to yourself about something, and how you pitch a fit over that says a lot. Right? Here's the problem with our flesh. Even though we crucify it or kill it, it has 9 lives. And that number 9 isn't really 9. It's like 9,000. It never completely dies. Every time we crucify our flesh, at some point, maybe even immediately, it's resurrected all of a sudden. And it's going at it again, right? Get this. This is real important. Every time you say no to your flesh, the spirit gets stronger and the flesh gets weaker. And if you do it again, the spirit gets even stronger and the flesh gets even weaker. And if you keep dying to self over and over again, you are now walking in the spirit. You are becoming what you wish everybody else was. You are becoming that kind driver. You are becoming that thoughtful co-worker. You're becoming that biblical spouse. I know what you're thinking. I sure wish they'd become a biblical spouse. Be careful. You're dropping off into the flesh again. It doesn't take long, does it? God's word is not an ammo box for you to pull from to fire at other people. It's a mirror for the Holy Spirit to show you what you need to see, what I need to see in myself. Our flesh uses it as an ammo box. The Spirit uses it as a mirror. The flesh says, they shouldn't have done that to me. The Spirit says, forgive them. Jesus forgave you of a whole lot more than that. The flesh says, I have rights. The Spirit says, I'm thankful for my undeserved blessings. The flesh says, I want to be first. The Spirit says, let them ahead of you. The flesh says, I want more. The Spirit says, I've already had enough. The flesh says, I want to relax and just watch TV. And the Spirit says, I have responsibilities to take care of. The flesh says they were wrong and they deserve justice. The spirit says, show them mercy. That's what you would like. When you get angry and frustrated repeatedly at other people, it's probably because you're walking in the flesh, not in the spirit. When you and I got saved, the Holy Spirit came to live inside of us. And we have all of the Spirit that we'll ever have. But our hand is on the valve that the Spirit flows through. And we open that valve a little bit more every time we deliberately crucify our flesh. And we tighten it down. And we close off the flow of the Spirit every time we cave into the flesh. It's not that we don't have the Spirit guiding us. It's not that I can't hear His voice. It's just that I've squelched it. Because I've turned that valve closer and closer to being shut completely. Every time I cave into the flesh and say yes to it. Every fleshly desire that comes up, I have an opportunity to either strengthen the flesh or to strengthen the spirit. You have the same option, the same choice. Not just daily, but dozens of times a day, every single day. This is a very important matter here, because it's going to determine whether or not you live in the Spirit or walk in the Spirit or just live in the flesh. That's real important, because the Bible says that there's coming a day where we're going to stand before Jesus and give an account. It's real important. But Brother Bruce, my flesh is strong. It's like I just can't fight it. That's because you've been overfeeding it. Start starving it. Every time your flesh wants something, say no. Remember, you don't know a person till you tell them no. The Bible says in this chapter, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. If you're like me, you may have been struggling with a particular issue, or maybe a particular person, or maybe both. And I'm here to tell you, it ain't their problem. It's no accident that that person is in your life. It's no accident that that aggravation, whatever it may be, that keeps flaring up, causing you an issue, causing you repeated frustration. That's not an accident. God has allowed that into your life for a reason. And it's to grow us. Our flesh wants everything and everyone else to change. God says, just say no to your flesh. That's not going to change other people. It's not even going to change your circumstances. But it's going to change who you are. It's going to change whether or not you're walking in the Spirit or walking in the flesh. What I want to do is encourage you to walk in the Spirit. Remember, every time that you say no to the flesh, you're saying yes to the Spirit. In this chapter, we read what the fruits of the Spirit are. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, temperance. All these things are the things that the Holy Spirit are going to build into you and I. But not until we crucify our flesh. We don't produce love in ourselves for other people. All we can do is crucify the hate that we have for them. Then the Spirit produces that love. I've heard people say before, I have a hard time loving people. I have a hard time loving that person. The reason is because we have chosen not to crucify our flesh. Therefore, the hands of the Spirit are tied. And He cannot produce the love inside of us. He can't produce kindness because we will not let go of meanness. He can't produce these fruits because we won't let go of our sins and our fleshly desires. So I encourage you to crucify your flesh. That's how we walk in the Spirit. You can't do both at the same time. It's going to be one or the other. Where are you walking? Let's all stand for prayer. Dear Father, I thank You for loving us. Lord, I thank You for Your Word. Lord, this morning You've shown me areas in my life that I need to crucify my flesh. And Lord, I pray that You would help me to do that. Lord, help me to trust You. Help me to obey You. Father, I pray that You would help all of us to shine a brighter light for You as we walk in Your Spirit. I pray all these things in Jesus' name, for His sake. Amen. Amen. If you would, turn in your book to number 489. I have decided we're going to sing 489. I have decided. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. No, no one join me, still I will follow. Though no one join me, still I will follow. Though no one join me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back. The world behind the cross before me, the world behind me, the cross before me, the world behind me, the cross before me. coming this morning. Your first opportunity to die to self is probably going to happen before you get in the car this morning or this afternoon. Okay? And then your second and third opportunity will happen before you even get home. You know I'm telling the truth. So take the opportunity to walk in the Spirit. Crucify your flesh. Amen. Come back tonight at 6, and we will have a business meeting after the service, okay?